We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples and Captain Josh Kyle with the Riley County Police Department joining us here on In Focus. I understand we have a caller on the line with a question. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Good morning. I was calling in. I was listening to the need for training rooms, and I don't know how often they're needed and what special equipment and setup they need, but I just remind people that we've got three new recreation centers being built that have conference room facilities in all three of them. And during the day, I would think that when people are at work and kids are in school, that those rooms probably aren't needed and could easily be scheduled by the RCPD or anybody. And we ought to use existing resources rather than duplicate them. And I know that everybody wants their own training room and their own whatever, but I would hope that you'd look around the community and see what other resources, even if they're not owned or operated by you. And the other comment I'd make was that the retail space in the parking garage, I don't think anybody has objection to the city renting those out as long as they do it with public knowledge and notice and give everybody a chance to bid on that space at the price they want. It's making secret deals with special people that get people irritated, like we did on the RCPD with the exercise club. So those are the comments I think taxpayers are looking for to make sure that our money is being wisely and efficiently spent. But that's the comment I'd make, and I appreciate the opportunity to call in.
Yeah, well stated. Thank you. That's something that we're certainly aware of. Having training space available to you in the community is something that we've looked into, and we certainly have a number of opportunities, and we certainly utilize those opportunities. But it's something very different to have a space that you know is dedicated to what you need to do. There's a lot of spaces that are available that we just can't do the kind of training that we need to because the person who owns the property really doesn't want to lend themselves to the kind of training that we do. You can imagine some of our training gets a little loud sometimes, especially some of our defensive tactics training or some of our reality-based training. So it can be tricky to find the kind of space that we need, the right kind of space. And then also scheduling becomes a huge issue. We're scheduled right now so that we have several different squads, and those squads overlap to the point where we have a training day one day a week. So a group or officers are out on the street while another group are in training. And so what that essentially means is we have to have space available at specific times for specific purposes. And when you're relying on other facilities, that can get to be very problematic. So, and also the conversation about parking, you reminded me, we didn't finish that. The thought is that we would have spaces available consistent with what we have now available at the substation. And then if the training location was to occur, we could certainly have people park on the top and not inconvenience the customers in Aggieville.
All right. Kind of staying in the Aggieville area, I know that tomorrow would normally be the traditional day for the annual Fake Patty's Day. I don't know what you call it, a drinking holiday for all the K-State students and such. But that got moved officially to March 21st. I know there will probably still be a number of folks, you know, with the K-State game going on here tomorrow. Down in Aggieville, what is the RCPD response like for this weekend?
Well, as I said earlier, there's a one day a week where all the squads overlap, and so we essentially have double normal numbers, and so that's what we're doing tomorrow. We're doubling up all our numbers, and all of our squads will be fully staffed. So that's essentially our approach. We're not going to have a command post or any of those other things, but we will have additional staffing during that time period.
And, you know, and maybe if you could kind of clear up a misconception, when Fake Patty's Day rolls around, you guys plan for that each year, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's a major event. When I was the patrol commander, I spent a tremendous amount of time. I knew as soon as New Year's Eve had hit, it was time to start planning for Fake Patty's Day. It's a massive endeavor, undertaking, and I know Captain Fink is, and his staff are in the middle of this, and now we've got 2 days to think about instead of just one. So I know he's been working on that. I know he's been working very closely with the Aggieville Business Association. That's an important partnership and important thing to consider as we make our plans for these events. And then I think you said it was the 21st. as the advertised Fake Patty's Day. That will be business as usual for this event. We'll have the command post and full staff and extra officers from other jurisdictions and all that.
Right. And somebody this week or last week on our social media page was commenting, oh, why we spend all this extra money on this stuff. But as I understand it, the help you guys get from the other police departments who come in and help, that's done on a handshake agreement.
Yeah, that's correct. That's one of the nice things about police work. There are agencies that bill us, but it's fairly unusual. It's actually unusual. Most of the time, if you ask for help, they're going to get you help. And a lot of agencies actually, for one reason or another, enjoy sending people. It's a good experience, and it's a good opportunity for them to see how our agency handles these kinds of events. So that's nice. It does cost a lot of money for us from an overtime perspective. And there's, of course, a lot of equipment. But we get food, a lot of food donations for this event as well. So the community really pulls together and helps us out. My big concern or fear is that over time, there's a push to reduce the amount of available personnel during these events, because it is the kind of thing that can get out of hand very, very fast. The most of the partying that goes on is in neighborhoods, and that's a real tricky thing to try to police, especially with limited resources.
All right. I want to talk to you a little bit about CALEA. That's coming up pretty soon. That's accreditation for the police department.
Yeah, it's national accreditation. And every 4 years, we have to go through a reaccreditation process. It's quite extensive, and we have people that come from other agencies that are experts in accreditation and the standards associated with it. They examine our police department, and then they also speak with community members. We went through that process late last year, and now it's time for us to go to the national conference and find out whether or not we've actually met all the standards and are going to get reaccredited. It sounds and looks really good right now. We're very positive about it, but it's a big event. You have a police department in this community that has voluntarily decided to meet national standards, best practices when it comes to policing, and we'll find out whether or not we've met that.
All right. That'll be something to look forward to for sure. You also, you're right around the corner from budget season.
Oh, yes. Budget season. Yes. I don't know why, but I enjoy budget season. I enjoy putting the budget together and working on it. Of course, we have staff that are extremely talented and help with that. Collectively, the first thing we have to do is we have to get all the commanders in a room. We have to look at our budget needs for 2021, and we have to have a couple of difficult sessions where we go through and eliminate things. And we've eliminated a little bit over $300,000 worth of items that we feel a need for, but we also understand the financial. In fact, one of our top goals is to reduce the financial and social impact of policing on the community. And what that means is we have to be very serious about what we approach the law board for every year, because we recognize the amount of financial, I'd say, burden that the police department is. We're expensive because we have a lot of people, and we recognize that, and we want to make certain that we're good stewards with the money that we have available, and we also want to be responsible when we approach the law board.
All right. Well, that'll be something we'll keep an eye on here as the months go on. Also want to give you a chance to highlight Boys and Girls Club. They have their casino night next month.
Yeah, Boys and Girls Club. I always give a plug to Boys and Girls Club because their mission statement is very close to ours. And as I've stated before, there's research that shows we're an evidence-based agency, and so are they. They have evidence that very clearly demonstrates that kids who go to Boys and Girls Club are more likely to graduate from high school than those that do not. And we know that high school graduation, through other research, shows that if you graduate from high school, the likelihood of you being involved in crime across your life course drops dramatically. In addition, we've had occasion to talk to some community leaders, especially in the African-American community. And one of the things that they ask us is, what's your association or relationship with Boys and Girls Club? So it's an amazing group. It's an amazing organization that's doing great work. And because our missions are so closely related to each other, we've developed a very strong bond over the last couple of years, and it's I think it's a real positive thing. So, I'd like to encourage anybody to help support the Boys and Girls Club, especially at Casino Night. It's coming up in March 27th, and it's the main fundraiser for this group every year.
All right. Mark that on your calendars, March 27th, Casino Night for Boys and Girls Club. Where will that take place at? Do you know?
You put me on the spot here.
That's at the Alumni Center.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, it's been in two different locations the last couple of years, but I believe it's been settled at the Alum Center.
Okay, very good. Well, Captain Kyle, we're out of time, but we appreciate you coming out here today.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, glad to do it. And stay tuned. We'll have Ben Jedlicka in next from the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism.